Introduction that it's a great pleasure to be here to talk today. So yeah, I'm going to talk about some of my recent work with Brussels Piston, which is about some aspect of the connection between gauge theory and the quantum integral system and also the double algebra. So yeah, partly based on my review article, which is in archive. So yeah, if you're interested, please check this. But of course, I'm going to talk about some more recent progress about this one. And okay, so let me first start with some basic aspects of this topic. The main slogan of this is some correspondence between the gauge theory and integral system. Okay, so it's okay. Let me use this one, display. So there, let me start with some connection. Gauge theory, and so integrable system. The typical gauge theory is 4D n equal 2 theory. Which has a nice geometric description known as cyber-written theory. And the corresponding system is, okay, let me first discuss the classical integrable system here. Okay, what is the precise statement here? Okay, on this gauge theory side, we have a Coulomb branch of the modular space, like Coulomb branch or back here. The correspondence says this Coulomb branch is corresponding to some phase space of this integrable system. So precisely, so that is going to be the base of this, but we have the correspondence between the Coulomb branch and the phase space of classical integral system. And or more typically, so we have, okay, on this side, we have, the cyber-written description, which consists of there are some geometric objects like a cyber-written curve. So algebraic curve. So this algebraic curve is going to be identified with a spectral curve of this corresponding integrable system. Okay, so this is actually given by as an algebraic curve, which is so characterized by some algebraic function. Okay, so for example, okay, given as a zero locus of this characteristic polynomial. And this L is now going to is going to be identified with the Rux matrix of integrable system. Okay, so this is a first step, and with this cyber-written curve is actually given by the in this form. I'm going to explain some with example. What is a explicit classical integral system, which is typically the like a Toda type or spin chain or some whatever, but I'm going to explain this. So, okay, this is a very established correspondence. Okay. Actually, so this correspondence was pointed out just after the discovery of cyber-written theory, which is almost more than 20 years ago. And okay, recent interest is, so we have the correspondence to the classical system, but how to quantize this structure? Okay, we are now going to discuss. Let me use this if you're fine. So we want to quantize this structure. We want to discuss the quantization of this correspondence. So to quantize this, of course, for this integrable system side, So we have natural quantum parameter, which is a Planck constant. But from the beginning of this, from the beginning on this side, what is this quantum parameter? But it turns out that the natural quantization parameter of this side is so-called the omega background or equivalent deformation or something like this. So this quantization is actually achieved by introducing the so-called omega background. Or say, equivariant parameter, whatever. But anyway, so we have a natural deformation parameter on gauge theory side. And this quantization was first discussed by the so-called Nekrasov-Shatashvili. And so we have two parameters, epsilon 1 and epsilon 2 in general. But to see the correspondence to the quantum integral system, we have to look at some specific slice of this parameter. So so now let us think of the so-called Nekrasov-Shatashvili limit on this gauge theory side, which is epsilon 1 is now taking the generic value, which is going to be identified by the Planck constant. But now let's take epsilon 2 to 0. That is called the Nekrasov-Shatashvili limit. And then the corresponding integral system is, of course, the quantum integral of a system. So then what is a more explicit correspondence? On this side, so we have, this epsilon parameter plays a role as some, so physically speaking, that is kind of the confinement potential. So if it turn known one of these, so this system is effectively two-dimensional system. Then we have like a superpotential or something like this, and then we can discuss the supersymmetric behavior vacuum with respect to such superpotential. So we have a Suji vacuum of this theory, which is given by the twisted F-dime condition. More specifically, this is given by the twisted F-dime. And the corresponding object here is this F-dime condition is going to be identified with the beta equation of the corresponding quantum integral system. Okay, that is the one correspondence. And another thing is, so now for the classical integral system, classical case, we have this subalgebraic geometry. And that is going to be the some quantum subalgebraic curve we have in this Nekrasov-Shatashvili limit. I don't explain what it is, but we have the quantum version of subalgebraic curve, which is not the algebraic curve anymore, but we have this kind of thing. And this is going to be related to the trans matrix or TQ relation of the quantum integral systems. It's a bit a tricky way to use this, but the point is how to characterize the quantum integrity. And for this quantum integral, in a typical situation, we have the infinitely many commutative Hamiltonians. So existence of such infinitely many commutative Hamiltonian characterizes this quantum integrability. But instead of discussing this, so we can instead discuss commuting a transfer matrix. So this is equivalent to this. And actually, so this transfer matrix is generating function of this commutative Hamiltonians. So once we can say this commutative transfer matrices, we can automatically say, we have infinitely many commutative Hamiltonians. So to say the quantum integrability, so the one convenient way is finding such a commutative transfer matrices. Okay. Okay, let me say some example. Okay, so let me discuss some examples. The simplest example is, the gauge theory is a 4D n equal to pure, for example, SUN, super Hamilton theory, n equal to supersymmetric theory. And this is going to be corresponding to the affine total theory. Yeah, for example, we can derive the subarbitrary curve of this theory, and that is going to be identified as affine total theory. It was discussed by the Martinic Warner or something like this. And another example is SUN super QCD. And typically we focus on a super conformal case. I mean, an F equals going to be 2N, which is super conformal case. In this case, the corresponding integral system is going to be the SUN, SU2 XXX spin chain model. So, and the point is, we have SU2 symmetric spin chain model. This n dependence is going to be the spin chain length.
Sorry, can you just quickly remind me SQC?
What's
the matter representation for
that? This is their fundamental matter, yes. Yeah, from this point, of course, we can think of the other representation matter. For example, that is called the n equal two state theory. This is a theory with the adjoint representation matter. In that case, the integral system is going to be the Carroll-Gerald type Moser system.
I have a really dumb question.
Yeah.
When I hear the words total theory, I think of an integral field theory.
This is a lattice model. Yes. And actually, for example, looking at this side, how to get this from this is taking all the mass time, mass parameter is going to be infinity, then all the mass, matter field is going to be decoupled from this theory. So from that is understood as we have the fundamental mass parameter are playing a role as an inhomogeneous parameter on this side. And then it is known that taking such a very inhomogeneous limit of this spin chain model, that is going to be the total like lattice model. Yeah, that is consistent. Yes, exactly. Yes. So, right. We have this. And the point is that. So if we think of if we start with a 5D theory, it's going to be the XXZ. Right? Okay. In this case, let me explain this. We are interested in the H supersymmetric theory, H suji theory, and that is going to be the 4D n equal 2 theory on C2. That is going to be the XXX, which is a rational integrable system. And the 5D, in this case, n equal 1 theory, because we are now talking about H suji theory, which is now S1, additional S1. So this is going to be XXZ, which is a trigonometric integrable system. And we have similarly the 1 comma 0 theory, C2 times torus X, Y, Z. This is elliptic theory. Correspondingly, the spectral parameter is going to be periodic or doubly periodic in this case. Okay. And actually, all these 4D, 5D, 6D theory have a similar subalgebraic like description. Okay, so yes. And okay, so what I want to say here is okay, so the one observation here is okay, so this SUN, I mean gauge symmetry is now dependence of this gauge group is now found in the spin chain length. Well, say precisely speaking, that is okay, this length is directly related to the, this Frobisher symmetry, and the gauge group rank is going to be the Magnon sector or something like this. But anyway, so starting with this theory, we have only SU2 type spin chain model. Then the natural question here is, okay, how to generalize more generic spin chain model like SU3 or SU4 or whatever? And that is, it's found that, okay, so let me write this. Okay, so let's, for example, n, xx, and okay, what is the corresponding gauge theory to this SUM spin chain model? That is a so-called a n minus 1 quiver theory. Okay, what is this? This quiver gauge theory, quiver theory is okay, associated with a quiver, of course. And the quiver consists of several nodes describing the gauge symmetry. And then we have several connecting edges. And these edges are characterized in the interaction between gauge fields, and typically wrapped in the bifundamental hypermatch breadth. And okay, this terminology is given by the okay, this quiver looks like very looks like that, so Dinkin diagram. So this AN minus one quiver theory is okay, we have N minus one nodes, but with that is, I mean, just in this just line, which is a so-called linear quiver gauge theory. And okay, so in this case, this is actually the A1 quiver theory. So A1 is just having one gauge node, which is a A1 Dinkin diagram actually. So okay, so okay, looking at this correspondence, if we start with the A1 quiver gauge theory, we will have SU2 spin chain model. Okay, but if we think of the more generic situation, like AM type linear quiver gauge theory, the corresponding spin chain model is going to be, I mean, symmetry with this is enhanced to be SUM this way. Okay, such a correspondence was found by the Nekrasov-Peston. And in general, so if we start with say gamma quiver theory, the corresponding symmetry is going to be the G gamma XXX. Okay, this G gamma is a D group whose Dinkin diagram is identified with a quiver. Okay, probably you understand this convention. I mean, this for gamma equal A type case, this G gamma is going to be SUM. And if we think of the D type quiver, that is going to be the SO type spin chain model. Is appearing in this correspondence. Okay. Okay, so that is the correspondence between gauge theory and the quantum integral system. And of course, even in a quiver case, we also discussed this trigonometric and elliptic generalization. And okay, and one remark here is okay, this is not a A1 type case because okay, so in this case, this is so-called A0 hat quiver case theory because the adjoint representation matter is now described like this loop edge. So yeah, from this point of view, this n equal 2 star theory is different from this these guys. I mean, having a different quiver structure actually. Okay. Okay. So this is a best situation. Okay. Now we have the nice correspondence between gauge theory and the quantum integral system. But as I said, okay, to get this correspondence, we have to look at this specific locus of this omega background parameters. Okay, so we have two parameters, but we only use one of them. So from this point of view, it's natural to ask what happens if we turn on both of epsilon 1, 2 parameters. So that is our main interest in the latter part of my talk. And actually, what I want to say here is we will have the double algebraic structure if we turn on both of epsilon 1, 2 parameters. That is a punchline of my talk. So we are interested in the so generic epsilon 1, 2 parameters. And we will have some correspondence with some double algebra. Okay, so then let me introduce the notion of the quiver double algebra. Okay, this is of course the double algebra associated with some quiver structure by definition. And okay, let me explain some big picture about this and then move on to some details of this. Okay, so let's start with gamma quiver, say G gauge theory. Okay, in general, we can think of the different gauge groups for each node, but for simplicity, let's assign the one gauge symmetry here. Okay, so for given this theory, we have several connections with the double algebra. One of them is this theory is having some symmetry of double algebra. But this double algebraic structure is now associated sensitive to this gauge symmetry here. This is okay. This is G, and that is called the AGT relation, AGT without relation. Okay, first AGT just discussed the SU2 gauge theory, and they discussed a connection to the Virasoro algebra, which is the simplest double algebra. And then it's generalized to the generic gauge group. Okay, this is the one direction. And then what I want to explain here is actually there is another connection to double algebra that is now sensitive to the quiver structure algebra. Okay, that is a quiver version of AGT correspondence. Okay, this structure is natural generalization of these things because what I explained here is if we change the quiver structure, corresponding integral system, the symmetry of corresponding integral system is depending on this quiver structure. So actually, so this Kuiper version of this Kuiper double algebra is a natural one more, I mean, deformation of this structure. And actually, so this double algebraic structure is now sensitive to this Kuiper structure gamma here.
Sorry, can I just ask, when you write gamma quiver G gauge theory, you mean G are like the gauge group you're putting on the nodes of the quivers?
Yeah, okay, yeah. So if it's, okay, as I said, for example, if we start with the SEN gauge theory, so this double algebra, okay, WG algebra is basically W of SUN. So this is probably called a WN algebra or something like this in a standard notation. So this this algebra is sensitive to this choice of gauge symmetry. Yes.
But if you have many gauge nodes, then
Yes, but then the situation becomes complicated. So therefore, to see the natural AGT setup, it's natural to put all the same, I mean, gauge groups. Like for the first paper discusses the SU2 gauge series and discuss the very generic Kuiper gauge theory. But anyway, so always we get the Virasoro-like structure behind this. Yeah. Okay. Yes, like this. And okay, so another notation is that this is a. So this is a minus one, for example. Yeah. Well, this is just a convention issue. Okay. So. Okay. What is the correspondence? Okay, precisely. So this correspondence says if we think of the partition function of this theory, so this partition function has description as a conformal block with respect to WG algebra. This is a statement of energy duration, and this Kuiper version, Kuiper double algebra, says this partition function is realized as a similar conformal block, but this conformal block is now with respect to W gamma algebra. So, and actually, so this, I mean, triality structure says that these two conformal blocks are equivalent to each other. Let me remark that, okay, so we have these two correspondences, but at this moment, we cannot say the direct relation between these two algebras. What we can say here is that, okay, we have two conformal blocks, which are equivalent to each other at this moment. But this doesn't directly imply the direct equivalence of these algebras. What we can see is just at the level of these conformal blocks.
The WG algebra acts on the moduli of instantons? Acts on the homology of the moduli?
Yes, so yes.
Does the W gamma algebra?
Yeah, so we expect a similar, yeah. And probably so, yeah, we will have similar action on the cohomology of the instant modular space, but it will be possible that we have several action of there, okay. But anyway, so we have this equivalence, and this equivalence has several explanations. That is called several explanation. For example, that is called so base fiber duality of the cyber-Newtonian theory, base fiber duality. Well, it's also understood as S duality of the string theory, and also the someone says that is a spectral duality. Something like this. Okay, so we can see this duality in a very simple way. If you think of the A-type theory. Okay, so let's see. This is A, A minus one, A. This case. In this case, we have very simple string theory setup, which is a so-called Hanani-Witten-like, Hanani-Witten-type brain construction. And OK, let's say this is NS5 brains, and this is D4 or D5, depending on the 2A, 2B setup. And the number of brains are just N and N here. Okay, from this diagram, and okay, so there, let me remark that this duality is becomes manifest in a 5D setup. 5D is this C2 times S1 type in this case. In this case, this duality becomes manifest. Of course, we can similarly discuss this duration at the 4D or 6D level, but at the situation becomes complicated. And the reason why is, okay, so for the 5D case, we will use the D5 brain instead of the D4, and that is going to be the 2B setup, type 2B string 0 setup. In this case, we have the symmetry, which exchanges NS5 and the D5. That just corresponds to the rotation of this, 90-degree rotation is this picture. From this point of view, we have a natural symmetry of the N and M, which exchanges Quiver and the gauge symmetry here. Okay, for this A type, we have such a very simple explanation on this. But of course, we expect the similar symmetry beyond A type, but in this case, it's a bit difficult to figure out what is the correspondence. In that case, it's a bit difficult to write down the Necklace partition function, and it becomes difficult to check this duality manifestly. Yeah. But for the A-type case, we can check this. Okay, so yes. And as I said, to see this Quiver version of AGT, this 5D setup is a natural situation. So let us prepare some convention for this 5D case. Let us use a 5D notation. So which is that is also called a K-theoretic notation. Say another word is a multiplicative and everything is going to be the system variable like this. So instead of the original epsilon 1-2 parameter, let us use the Q1 and the Q2 parameters, which is an exponentiated version of this parameter here. If you want to discuss more precisely, so we can put, for example, some radius of the S1 in front of epsilon 1-2 parameter, but that is just a scaling issue, so I do not put such a parameter explicitly, but basically, so with this Q1, Q2 are exponentiated version of this. And I'm going to use another notation. Q is defined as the product of Q1, Q2, which is going to be epsilon 1 plus epsilon 2 here. Okay. So in the following, I basically use this 5D setup. So, okay, so let me explain how to get this double algebraic structure from the gauge theory point of view. And the starting point is actually the subarithmetic curve. And applying some quantization scheme, so we will get this double algebraic structure. Okay, so how to get this double algebraic structure? How to see this? Okay, as I said, the subarithmetic curve. Okay, that is corresponding to epsilon 1 to 0 situation, but we have this algebraic curve. Okay, so let's see. Okay, that is for the A1 Quiver and the SUN theory. This is a simplest example. In this case, this subarithmetic curve is given by this algebraic equation. Okay, this is a degree n polynomial in X, and this n is coming from the rank of this gauge symmetry. Okay, so this is a separate curve. Okay, from this point of view, okay, so that of x is just y plus y inverse minus, okay, and let's call this tn of x. Tn of x. In this case, okay, as I said, the separated curve is giving us a zero locus of this characteristic polynomial of this Rex matrix. In this case, okay, precisely speaking, we have to multiply y to some power, but basically, this zero locus is corresponding to this case. In this case, okay, and then okay, so we have this algebraic curve, and I'm going to explain here is okay, how to get this hyperbolic curve from gauge theory perspective. It was answered by the Nekrasov and following the Nekrasov-Okunkov paper. And the argument is okay, from this omega deformation thing. So okay, we can start with a generic Nekrasov partition function depending on two epsilon parameters and taking some classical limit, I mean taking epsilon 1, 2 to 0 limit. So then we will have such kind of algebraic structure. This situation is very similar to the situation of the so-called matrix model. And the matrix model has similar algebraic structure, which is called the spectral curve. The typical way to get this is in a larger limit. So we have such kind of algebraic curve appears in the end. So we can have similar description, even for this gauge theory. And one point here is, okay, so we curve is now given by this locus. And then the point is, okay, up to this locus, we can interpret this y as a function of x. Okay, that is one step here. Of course, we can use another, I mean, option, which is, okay, x as a function of y. That is also possible. But to get this structure, let's see this point. So, and of course, I mean, so this relation, I mean, which choice is corresponding to which is actually choice of the base and the fiber of this hyperbolic algebra geometry. And in the end, okay, as I said, okay, this n is corresponding to the gauge group rank. And from this point of view, actually, so this x variables controls the gauge symmetry, basically. And this y variables basically corresponds controlling the quiver structure, basically. And then exchanging the x and y correspond to the exchange in the quiver and the gauge structure. So then we will have, I mean, usual AGT type correspondence. OK, this is a traditional hyperbolic geometry. And another, I mean, other option, which is identifying x as a function of y, is a so-called Guyot type perspective. And of course, AGT is based on his construction. But now we are talking, I'm going to talk about this side. So then we use this choice of basis. OK. And then, OK, so term is restricted. OK. So the point is okay, how to get this separating curve. And actually, the interesting derivation here is that this y of x is realized as some expectation value of some operator here. And now this operator, okay, operator average is now defined as defined with respect to the Nekrasov partition function of here. And then the partition function is given like this. Okay. And so typically, so this partition function is given as an infinite summation over this lambda that describes a fixed point in the instant moduli space under the torus action. And then this operator average is now taken with respect to this Nekrasov weight here. And then what is y, capital Y? So this y is actually given by the minus 2n, n. OK, so we need, for example, lambda dependence here. ON with lambda tissue.
What's ON?
Sorry?
What's ON?
Oh, yeah. Let me define this. So ON is so-called a Kellerring operator, or say gauge invariant operator, that is going to be the so trace of phi to N in a 4D. That is going to be the S1 F5 plus I5. This is 5D convention here.
So probably there's a link. So in 4D, ON as an interpretation in terms of the generators of equivariant cohomology.
Yeah.
So this is going to be some like equivariant churn character or something?
Yeah,
like
yeah, exactly.
So
yes.
You're taking the integral of the equivariant churn character?
Yes, exactly. In the 4D case, yes. And in the 5D case, that is so uplifted to the K theoretic version of this. Yes, exactly, yes. So physically, OK, this phi is a so adjoint complex scalar in the vector multiplet of N equal 2 theory. And then the 5D case, that is going to be the Wilson loop, I mean, which is wrapping additional S1 circle here. So this my 5D theory is defined on R4 times S1. So this Wilson loop is now wrapping this additional S1. So we can have similar operator in 6D, but that is now, I mean, wrapping up non-local operator wrapping torus in this case. OK, yeah, from this point, and OK, point is, OK, this is ON. And what is this ON evaluated lambda? OK, so this observable received the instanton correction. And this lambda is actually characterizing the instanton configuration at the fixed point. So this means, OK, we have to evaluate this observable under this specific instanton configuration. That is the meaning of this. OK, and yes. Yeah, from this point of view, okay, this Y function is a generating function of this Kellerring observables here. And then, OK, we can compute this average here. And then it turns out that in a classical limit, I mean, taking epsilon 1 to 0 limit, so this average precisely obeys this algebraic function. This is just a rephrase in classical Nekrasov-Okenkopf's argument, but that gives a more, I mean, probably clear explanation of the how to derive this subalgebraic curve here. All right. So okay, that is a starting point. And Remy, but to get their double algebraic structure, so.
Making things non-commutative, then we should have a differential equation. Mm-hmm. Is what does the
non? I'm going to explain. Yes, I'm going to explain this. Yeah, so we have to discuss the operator uplift of this, or some quantum deformation of this. Yeah, that is a very important point to get this double algebraic structure. So okay, so let me briefly explain what it is. Okay, one important step here is okay, let's think of some deformation of the gauge theory, which is a bit different direction of the omega background, equivalent deformation. But okay, so for n equal to 2 theory, we have description using the prepotential. But we now focus on the UV prepotential. Of course, this received a quantum correction, I mean, an instant correction, and then it receives a very complicated correction. But let's discuss the UV at the level. So let's think of the deformation of this UV prepotential with all the possible gauge invariant observer, I mean, Kellerring single trace operator here. OK, so this, I mean, original one is basically the quadratic n equal 2 case. But in general, we can think of this kind of deformation. And this, okay, under this deformation, this Perturn function is also deformed in some sense, depending on this deformation parameter. Now this has a form like this, Okay, this is the original Lacrosse function. And this deformation part is now corresponding to the this. Okay, this is T dependence is now appearing additional part. Okay, this is okay. Let me call this potential term in from the analogy with the matrix model actually. And this potential term has an expression like this. Tn on evaluated at this specific configuration, instant configuration here. Okay, this t depending partition function has additional contribution like this. The point here is okay, in the presence of this potential term, we can easily compute the gauge invariant observable. I mean, if you are interested in this observable average here, this is just given by the and then taking t equals 0 here. Okay, this is a very familiar technique to take compute the correlation function. From this point of view, okay, this partition function, t deformed partition function, plays a role as a generating function of this scattering operator here. Okay, and from this point of view, in the presence of this potential term here, this on is basically identified with taking a derivative with this conjugate variable here, tn. So this is essentially same as the usual Fourier transformation. In the usual Fourier transformation, we impose this plane wave function. And then in the presence of this plane wave, so this momentum p is going to be the derivative with conjugate variable, which is x. This potential term is essentially same as this Fourier plane waves. But we have infinitely many plane waves, but they're essentially same here. And then now, so we now identify this on as a derivative with t, which is, at this moment, this is an auxiliary parameter. But this suggests, of course, this t derivative of t naturally satisfies this kind of Heisenberg type commutation relation. But now, okay, and this in the presence of this potential term, so this is going to be identified with on. And okay, conventionally, so this is also called t negative or something like this. Okay. Okay, from this point of view, okay, due to this deformation, this scattering observable on or its conjugate variable is now promoted to the operator in this sense. Okay, Heisenberg operator here. And in this convention, so okay, so for the okay, from the beginning, so this Tn is just the auxiliary coupling constant, but in this sense, this Tn is now promoted to the operator. And okay, so recalling the usual standard technique to discuss the Fock space of the harmonic oscillator, so we can define a Fock space with respect to this Heisenberg operator. So this is a bosonic Fock space. So that is spanned by the okay, we now have infinitely many Tn with some vacuum here, with some coefficient, so which is a non-negative integer here. We can define this Fock space. And for this Fock space, we can construct a double algebra, action of double algebra, actually. So this is a natural setup for the double algebra, in a sense. OK, and this definition of vacuum is, OK, so. OK, definition is, this is annihilated by the any differentials here. And the dual version is for n here. OK. And as I said, now t is now promoted to the operator. But now this partition function explicitly depends on the t parameters. In this sense, this is t dependent partition function is also interpreted as an operator living on this Fock space, acting on this Fock space. But now, from the standard argument of the conformal field theory, so we have so-called operator state correspondence. From this point of view, operator is going to be identified with some state living in this Fock space. So okay, let us introduce the notion of the Z state. Okay, so now we have the operator Zt. So this is going to be mapped to the state Z state that is given by Zt of vacuum here. This is a standard way to use operator state correspondence with respect to proper radial ordering. But anyway, so we have the Z state here. And okay, so this is a situation for the deformed partition function. And then the point is, okay, so we are typically interested in the usual Necrasov partition function, before the T deformation. So usual Necrasov partition function corresponding to the T equals zero is just given by this. Because the reason why here is that now we are interested in this T equals zero sector, but this is naturally achieved by acting dual vacuum here. Because action of this dual vacuum precisely kills T dependent part because of this condition. Okay. From this point of view, this dual vacuum plays a role as a projector to the T equals zero sector. In this sense, if we take if we compute this matrix element of this, so which is going to be the T equals zero usual Necrasov partition function. In other words, so this is using this expression, that is a vacuum expectation value of operator Z of T. And actually, so this is the statement of, okay, which I wrote around here. From this point of view, usual Necrasov partition function is now correlated with this vacuum state. And I don't have enough time to explain what is this, but the statement here is that this Z of T is constructed using a screening charge operators of the double algebra, actually. Okay, from this point of view, okay, Necrasov function is of W gamma algebra, depending on the Kuiper structure here. Okay, so okay, let me finally explain how to get the double algebraic structure from here. Okay, this is about partition function. And then what is the action of this double algebra acting on this state? The starting point is, as I said, the subarbitrary curve, which is, tnx. And as I said, this y function is realized as an average with y operator. Okay, and from this point of view, it's natural to think of the operator lift of this this algebraic curve. In this case, we have to shift the argument here. That is, I don't explain this, but process, we have to shift this x variable here in this way. So this is a usual algebraic curve, algebraic relation. But that is going to be the operator relation. This y and the t is now operator. And then if you want to discuss the algebraic relation, taking the average with the vacuum state, so then this is going to be this one. Okay. And since this is an operator, we have expansion like this, tn, here. And then we can discuss what is the algebraic relation for this Tn, for example. Okay, to compute this Tn, so let us think of this what is y operator in this operator format. As I said, this y is a generative function on the chiral ring operators, but in this operator formalism, in the Fock space presentation, this y is, okay, we have a little bit different, I mean, Fock space, I mean, free field realization, I mean, in terms of the free fields, I mean, oscillators. In this case, this has this kind of expression, but now this y, small y, oscillators obeys a bit complicated algebraic relation. N plus. This q is a product of q1, q2 here. Okay, this is a free field realized. Okay, so this although we have a bit complicated factor, but that is basically the linear combination of the previous free fields. Okay. Okay, this relation is directly coming from the gauge theory. Gauge theory computation suggests what is this algebraic relation for this. Okay, now we have a natural definition for this y operators, and then we have this operator relation. Through this operator relation, then we can define this Tn operator. That is a bit an indirect derivation of this, but anyway, we can now define this T operator here. And the statement here is that this T is going to be identified as a generator of the double algebra. But in this case, okay, we are now talking about the A1 case. In this case, that is going to be the Virasoro. Anyway, okay, we can compute algebra of this Tn operators, but it's going to be very complicated. But okay, recording the usual CFD, Virasoro case, algebraic relation of Virasoro is equivalent to the operator product expansion of energy momentum tensor. From this point of view, even in this case, we can similarly compute the OPE of T's. Okay, this suggests, okay, let me just write the result here. This is, okay. Yes. Okay, it's a bit complicated, but Q. Here. And this f function, this is not operator, just a function. Okay, we can derive this kind of OPE-like relation for this T operator. Okay, so from this OPE, we can derive the expressed relation for these T generators. Okay, the point is that this relation is precisely equivalent to the Q-deformed Virasoro algebra, so which is a Q-deformed A1 algebra in this case. The reason why we get A1 is we start with A1 Quiver gauge theory. Of course, if we start with a more generic Quiver gauge theory, we will have more complicated double algebra, but conceptually, so everything is straightforward, parallel, basically parallel. And finally, let me remark the connection to the quantum integrable system, okay? The point is, okay, in this convention, okay, so Neclash-Chatterjee limit is Q2 equal to 1 limit. In this convention, so this NS limit is Q1 is now going to be the Planck constant, Q2 is going to be 1 here. But let's see what happens if we take Q2 to 1. In this case, okay, this factor is away, because we have 1 minus Q2 factor. And in addition, so this f function is going to be 1 because we have this 1 minus Q2 factor. So the, this is going to be 0, which means f is just 1. In this case, this relation is just going to be the this leads to the commutative T operators. And then in the end, so this in terms of the quantum integral system, so this T operator is identified with the transfer matrices, which I explained before. And the point is, this is a very generic fact that in the classical, so-called NS limit of this double algebra reproduces such a quantum integral system. Okay, so in this case, so the generating function of double algebras is going to be identified with a transfer matrix in the quantum integral system side. Okay. So this is let me finish in a minute. The point here is I only discussed the simplest example, which is A1 Cleaver, but our construction, if we apply the ADE type construction, so this double algebra reproduces the Frenkel Le Chatelain's the construction of the Q-deformed double algebra. So we can see precise agreement with this. But our construction is also applicable to affine type Cleaver gauge theory. In this case, we have actually the new double algebra in this sense. For example, in the simplest case is L0 hat. As I said, we have this kind of Cleaver diagram. But in this case, we have the adjoint matter with a parameter mu, for example. This is an exponentiated adjoint mass parameter of this adjoint field. Actually, so in this case, starting with this L0 hat Cleaver gauge theory, we will have double algebra whose algebraic relation depending on this parameter. So we will have such a further deformation of double algebra in this case.
In this case, is maybe I asked this before, is without the Q, which would be related to the Alpha-Yangian?
Yeah, probably it will be related to such a known result, just writing, for example, generating current of this, it looks different. Yes. It's a very interesting to ask what is the precise agreement. And so there, in this setup, so typically we can only think of the AD type, simple race type Cleaver gauge theory, but recently we can also generalize situation with a non-simple race type Cleaver gauge theory. Yes. And in this case, a bit situation becomes complicated, but we call this fractional Cleaver. It is a Cleaver with additional data, because for non-simple race type, for example, this is a BC2, the simplest case, we have this kind of double arrow. This double arrow means long root to short root. From this point of view, we have to impose some notion of the root of length in the gauge theory. So we have to impose such additional data, but this correspondence to the double algebra tells us what is a suitable root of length in the gauge theory terminology. So we can generalize this structure to the even for this non-simple race type. This suggests, some generalization of, for example, the geometric aspect of this Cleaver gauge theory, or in general, so Cleaver variety. That implies some generalization to the of the Cleaver variety to the even for the beyond the simple race is going to be possible using that kind of construction. Okay, so time is over, so let me finish. Thank you, Felix.
So in this A0 hat case,
yes.
You made this comment about the connection to Calodro-Moser.
Yes.
And I mean, I would think of this adjoint mass as
yes.
being a deformation
yes.
of Calodro-Moser. So like, what's how do I think about the connection of this W?
So as I said, in the classical limit of this double algebra, so we can reproduce the quantum integral system. We can check that for the, for example, this usual AD or non-affine type, we can check this. But yeah, actually, so honestly speaking, we don't check the, what is the precise connection to the curvature model. But we expect, taking some classical limit, we will have such a connection to the curvature model, yes. At the classical level, at least, so I mean, usual subverting geometry case, so we have a connection. And this mass parameter is going to be the coupling constant of curvature model. So we have similar connection. But yeah, honestly speaking, I don't have the answer.
And I mean, you know, somehow I would think about these Coulomb branches in this case.
Two-star theory.
Out of this like BFN construction.
K-theoretic version.
Right, that this is
K-theoretic, yes.
So, and can you say anything about like how you would see this W algebra in this BFN picture?
Yeah, basically, yes. But okay, precisely speaking, so if we start with K-theoretic version, so Calogero is going to be the relativistic, I mean, it's an astronomical, but yeah, everything, basically the same thing. So, yeah, of course, so behind the curvature model, so we expect such a double algebra structure. Yeah, but yeah, I don't know the precise connection, but yeah, we expected this.
Okay.
Yeah. So yet another question. So you were like, when you were writing all these formulas, you were pretending that the operators O and were all independent.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it doesn't really make sense generating.
Yeah.
So that only happens in the large end limit of the gauge theory.
Yes. That's a very nice point. Yes. So, yes. So at least formally, we have to get this kind of algebra. So we have to take such a large n limit. Otherwise, we have some relation between O and S. Yes. But the point here is, for example, looking at this operator, this relation. This is operator relation, and this is an algebraic relation characterizing subverting curve. And for the subverting curve, we have this n dependence, which is coming from the gauge, choice of gauge symmetry, gauge group. But at this level, we don't have this. I mean, that implies that matter content of a gauge group symmetry, gauge symmetry, choice of that depends on the, additional vertex operator or additional operator. Yeah, in this sense. Yeah, from this point of view, at this level, we don't have the notion of gauge symmetry or something like this. Yeah. But of course, yeah, as you said, so the.
I mean, at that level, you remove the phase relations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Regarding the larger.
Yeah, so that is a more generic structure, I think. Yes. Yeah, we have to care about the gauge group ram or something like that. If we take average and we have the several coefficient of these polynomials, and if we want to get the independent coefficient, so we have to, of course, we have to take n to be infinity or something like this.
What about the elliptic level?
I don't explain this, but we can apply the same construction to the 60 gauge theory compact type on the torus. Yeah, in this case, we have almost same function, but we have so for example, this looks this is going to be almost same, but in the elliptic case, for example, so this factor is going to be theta q2 with p, and this p is exponential 2 pi I tau, and this tau is a compactified torus and something like this. So replacing this 1 minus q factor to elliptic function, and this also has some modification, but if we start with 60 theory, we have almost same algebraic structure, yes. And that defines the elliptic deformation of the double algebra, yes. Which depends on the Q1, Q2, and additional P parameter here.
Are you writing down elliptic screening operators?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, we have their expression in our paper, yeah.
Not less than Tyrone, okay?
Thank you very much.